Another worldwide broadcast of the Ted Brewer Show. I'm good to be with you again today. My co-host is Austin Brewer. Good to have Austin with me today. And we've got a lot of news to cover today. Today is November the 6th, 2015. A lot of things have happened this month. A lot of things we thought were going to happen this fall have happened. And Europe is basically in a complete and total crisis. And we're going to be going into more detail of what's happening in Germany and with George Soros in Hungary and a lot of other stuff today. But the first story I want to start with is why middle-aged whites are committing suicide at unprecedented rates. Now, this is an interesting story because it's probably a little bit different than what you think it's going to be. It seems that two researchers, one a Nobel Prize recipient, discovered that while white Americans in their 40s and 50s are committing suicide at an unprecedented rate, as well as dying from rampant drug abuse, as the New York Times has reported. This is interesting. Analyzing health and mortality data from the Centers of Disease Control and Prevention and from other sources, they concluded that rising annual death rates among this group are being driven not by the big killers like heart disease and diabetes, but by epidemics of suicides and afflictions stemming from substance abuse, alcoholic liver disease, and overdoses of heroin and prescription opioids. Just a few days earlier, Americans were likewise stunned by a 60-minute segment titled Heroin in the Heartland, chronicling an epidemic of heroin and opioid addiction from white middle-class suburban high school students. Now, what's interesting is right here is when they twist the truth in this thing with 60 Minutes. This is right now. Stay focused with me for a second. A 60 CBS correspondent Bill Whitaker explained, heroin dealers connected to Mexican cartels are making huge profits by expanding new lucrative markets, suburbs all across the country where they are targeting a new set of consumers, high school students, college athletes, teachers, and students. Now, here's what's interesting about this. This is a straight lie. These Mexican drug cartels are not manufacturing these huge amounts of heroin. They're coming out of Afghanistan. Now, everybody knows that. So what 60 Minutes did here is they put this story on TV to blame shift and to obfuscate what's going on with all this drug coming out of Afghanistan that we're in control of, that we're in charge of, that we're bringing into the United States through the CIA. They're basically bringing us this obfuscated story saying it's coming out of the Mexican drug cartels. What do you think about that, Austin?
Yeah, that's definitely interesting. I didn't even think about that until you just said it, but CNN always does like to spin everything like that. But Mexico isn't really, they've never been known, even the South American climate down there is not well known for heavy, heavy heroin production. You know, you have Colombia, which has always been, you know, kind of the mecca of cocaine in South America, but primarily Mexico has large amounts of cannabis that they grow. That's what grows down there really easy. The poppies grow much more efficiently as far as in the Afghan climate. That's why they produce such quality stuff. Not to say that Mexico doesn't produce any heroin, because I don't know. I'm never not that versed on heroin production. But I do know that pretty much almost all the heroin that we bring in mass quantities comes out of the Middle East. So,
well, what they're doing again, it's just more obfuscation. They don't want the American population to know what's going on, where these drugs are coming from, how they're getting into the United States. It goes on to say, this article is really very good, though. It goes, regarding those way over-prescribed opioids, synthetic morphine-like pills, a Columbus nurse told 60 Minutes last year that 750 million pain pills are prescribed by doctors in Ohio alone, nearly 65 pills for every man, woman, and child in the state. That's insane. Both news reports, one about middle-aged white people and the other about suburban youngsters in their teens and 20s, all either dead or in the process of killing themselves through substance abuse, has fueled national discussion and concern all week. Drug overdose deaths are the leading cause of injury in the United States, ahead of deaths from motor vehicles, accidents, and firearms, the DEA just announced. That in recent years, more active duty U.S. soldiers have been dying by suicide than in combat. 1 in 5 of all high school children in the United States has been diagnosed with ADD and put on drugs. Sadly, 1 in 5 preteens ages 6 to 12 have been medically diagnosed with ADD, anxiety, bipolar disorder, or depression. Okay? Equally alarming, 1 in 10 girls repeatedly cuts themselves on a weekly basis with razors or knives. Self-inflicted injuries such as cutting, burning, and pinching are the second leading causes of hospitalizations due to injury for children ages 15 to 19 years. Fully one-third of the nation's employees suffer chronic debilitating stress, and more than half of the millennials, 18 to 33-year-olds, experience a level of stress that is so high that it keeps them awake at night. Many have been diagnosed with depression and or anxiety disorder. Incredibly, 11% of all Americans aged 12 and older are currently taking antidepressants, those mood-altering psychiatric drugs with the FDA's suicide warning, and it's also been correlated with mass shootings. Throw in the 28% of American adults with a drinking problem, that's 60 million people, plus 24 million illegal drugs like marijuana, cocaine, heroin, and hallucinogens. And pretty soon this horrible picture becomes very evident that we become a nation of drug takers, as well as over 100 million, 100 million of us, one out of three, depend on one toxic drug, legal or illegal, just to get through life. Isn't that nuts? That's nuts.
Wow. Well, the thing about it, too, that nobody even talks about is when the drug interactions, and that's why it's so sad, because a lot of these kids end up committing suicide, and it's not their fault. You know, you take a kid that's 10, 12 years old, okay, he's ADD. You put him on Adderall, you know, a Schedule II amphetamine. Well, he's getting anxious because he's on Adderall all the time. We need to put him on Xanax to calm him down. Well, now he's too calm, but he's too up from the Adderall, so you need to put him on, you know, Prozac to calm down the antidepressant disorders. I mean, the chemical concoctions that are building in these kids' heads, I mean, it's not even, nobody even knows how severe it is. And until now, we're starting to see the suicide rate go up.
The best thing people can do, and this is what's interesting, we have a really good fish oil product at healthmasters.com, which is the show is being brought to you today by. The fish oil is so important. It has to be mercury-free. It has to be distilled because of all the heavy metal contamination of fish now. And you have to be taking a tablespoon of fish oil every single day. It's one of the best things you can do for your brain and for getting rid of anxiety and depression. In fact, since double-blind studies has been shown to be more effective than Prozac at combating the mild to moderate forms of depression, since basically Prozac really doesn't work because it reduces serotonin, and this, they're called chemical precursors, which cause a massive, which can cause a massive drop in serotonin, which can cause the suicide. Is pretty much banned Prozac. Australia has banned Prozac because it causes too many suicides and too many irrational behaviors, like going out and shooting people, which they can blame on guns. And then it goes on to say, the study is really interesting. It says, Psychology Today reports that today's college students are suffering from an epidemic of mental illness. While we're citing dire trends, one in three students suffers prolonged periods of depression. One in four students in college report feeling suicidal. The article never quite manages to identify the reasons. Yet, according to another peer-reviewed research, campus life, widespread hooking up causes significantly higher levels of depression. Hooking up means you go out with somebody, you have a one-night stand, and you have sex with them. Okay, that's what's really obvious now in college. Again, we can thank the left for unleashing sexual liberation on, these are the communists, sexual liberation on America, which pervades university life and is encouraged by perverse programs like the popular Sex Week. The CNS News talks about how host Sex Week exploring sexual culture, including incest and prostitution, which are held annually on campuses. Likewise, consider political correctness, which Newsweek acknowledges a Marxist totalitarian system of thought control, which basically William Lunt has characterized the top campuses as small Ivy League covered North Koreas. And do you think, then it goes on to say, do you think that aborting 60 million American children has affected people's self-esteem of what human beings are really worth, or the legalization of marijuana, or the internet age that allows young children to see hardcore pornography now, or do you think that America's military members actually are feeling good about being in the military with this idiot Barack Obama in the White House, or do you think that the indoctrinating and pressuring young children to affirm that two men kissing or getting married is perfectly normal, or that forcing teenage girls to shower with boys who are under the delusion that they are girls has no long-term effect on their mental health and happiness? When it happens today in America, openly gay and lesbian school teachers emotionally manipulate and force 4- and 5-year-old children to accept alternative sexual behaviors, including lesbianism and homosexuality. And I mean, this is an incredible article, and he's nailed it dead on. He's absolutely right. And now we have all these people killing themselves thinking that's okay. And of course, that's the globalist main agenda, is that drug us into such a stupor all the time that we basically don't know what we're doing anymore, and killing ourselves seems to be a welcome relief as far as escaping the harsh reality of this planet that they've created for us. And again, that's the Sabbatane Francis Cabalists, who are turning everything upside down on the planet to try to destroy God's work and what he's done here in their process of worshiping Lucifer. That's where this is headed. We warned people about this years and years ago, and it's just getting worse and worse and worse, and we need to continue to wake people up. You need to have people continue to call in and listen to this show, and basically we're going to start taking phone calls if we can, if we can figure out how to do that with Todd. So if we have any phone calls, we're going to basically answer questions live on the air. Austin, any more comments on that, and as far as what's going on, why people are killing themselves?
No, you pretty much nailed it on the head. I was going to switch gears for a second and go on a little bit of health information, some new stuff that I found again regarding milk. You know, and we've discussed this about pasteurized and homogenized milk for years. There's even an article on our website you can see about the dangers of pasteurized milk. But this is out of Canada. A Michael Schmidt, who was a Canadian farmer who provided raw milk to his community, was arrested and jailed for removing government surveillance cameras from his own property. He saw he had cameras on his property spying on him. He removed them, contacted the local police department, only to find out that because he was refusing to hand the cameras over until he found out who put them there, he was arrested and jailed. Later on to find out it was the Ministry of Natural Resources and Forestry who put him there to keep an eye on Glen Colton Farms. He's been producing milk for over 21 years for a members' food club and has undergone multiple raids. And to see, the reason why they don't want people drinking raw milk has nothing to do with the safety. If they were worried about that, they would ban alcohol. They would ban opiates. They do all kinds of stuff besides banning raw milk. When you pasteurize milk, you completely damage the B vitamin. You eliminate the vitamin C. You destroy the milk enzymes, the proteins, the antibodies that are all beneficial in the milk. And what happens is the milk enzymes help digest lactose, and both enzymes and milk proteins help to absorb the vitamins. So when you do this, you completely denature the milk to almost nothing. And then on top of that, now we have the cows that have all the hormones, antibiotics, growth hormones, you name it, they're on. So all that's getting added to the milk. It's already completely void of any and all nutrients. They want you drinking that milk, the pasteurized, homogenized, void of all nutrients milk. That's what they want you drinking, because it has no health benefits. Actually, it's been shown to have health risks now, as you can read on our article at healthmasters.com. It's under the deadly truth about pasteurized milk. And I know, Dad, you've been talking about this for 20, 30 years now.
35 years, Austin, I've been talking about
35, excuse me.
I've been talking about the dangers of pasteurized milk. The enzyme phosphatase is destroyed in the pasteurization process. And when that enzyme is destroyed, your body, you basically can't even use the calcium anymore in the milk. It's just all useless. It's like just useless calories is all it is. And it can cause all types of lactose problems and cause all types of allergy problems. I know a lot of people that we've known, they've had tremendous problems with their allergies. Just simply by eliminating dairy products, the allergies have completely cleared up with just a few weeks. And so it's just they're really toxic. I mean, they're raw cow's milk that's got bovine growth hormone in it that you're buying at the grocery store that you're paying $3 or $4 a gallon for is so poisonous it should be poured out, you know, into a landfill. It shouldn't even be used. And the sad part about it is they're still paying farmers all over the place not to produce milk because people aren't drinking as much of this swill as they used to. I remember years and years ago I was on vacation. We had a medical conference out in Hawaii, and I remember I was out there, and I was laying by the pool, and I spoke to this guy who had a dairy farm up in Wisconsin. This is a crazy story. I don't know if I've ever told you this, Austin. And the guy was sitting by the pool. He had, like, you know, Rolex on and all his diamond jewelry on and this big, thick gold chain on. I mean, he was just styling it. So I asked him, I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm a dairy farmer. I've got 1,500 acres of prime Wisconsin dairy farmland, and that's what I do. And I said, well, good. I said, how many cows do you have? He goes, well, I don't have any cows. And I said, you don't have any cows? He goes, no, man, I don't have any cows. I said, well, how much milk do you produce? He goes, I don't produce any milk. And I said, well, can I ask you a question? I said, why are you here and what are you doing and how can you afford to be here and ordering these drinks from the bar and all this jewelry you're wearing and all this other kind of stuff if you don't produce milk? He goes, oh, the government pays me not to produce milk. They pay me millions of dollars a year as farm subsidies not to produce milk because we have an excess supply of milk in the United States. What a crazy story. I still remember. This was like 32 years ago, I guess that happened. Now, whether or not it's still that bad or that rampant, I don't know. But all I know is this. The guy was styling his life big time, man. Didn't do anything besides own the farmland. He got government subsidies. And, of course, they do that a lot of times. They try to balance out the crops, and they pay you to not grow certain crops, and the farmers get all these subsidies. I tell you what I would do. I'd just tell the farmers. I'd say, hey, here's the deal. You want to grow something that people want to buy? Grow it. If you don't, don't. Don't. Just do what you need to do. And instead of giving them money from us. And then, of course, you have things like Archer Daniel Midlands. It's huge, huge conglomerates that have bought up so many family farms that literally some of these big, huge corporations literally farm millions and millions of acres of, you know, prime farmland of the United States. And they're controlling all the food production. They're using GMO foods. They're using the pesticides. They're using the glyphosates. They're using everything and feeding to us. In fact, I remember one time I had a farmer friend of mine. You see, they call it ADM. Supermarket to the world for Archer Daniels Midland. It was so funny. I asked him about ADM. He goes, "Oh, we just call that place another damn monopoly." And I laughed and I said, "Are you kidding?" I said, he says, "No, they're awful." He said, "The type of food they put out is awful. They drag everybody to these co-ops." He said, "It's awful. We don't want to deal with them, so we don't have anything to do with those groups." Well, see, that's what's happening. Here's another really interesting article. It says, "Exercise stops the mitochondrial aging process in its tracks." New research published in the American Journal of Physiology indicates that exercise may minimize and even reverse age-related declines in mitochondrial function. The mitochondria is the little energy storehouse that you learned about in high school biology. That's the powerhouse of the cell. They're responsible for producing the body's primary source of chemical energy known as ATP or adenosine triphosphate. When you die, it's because your ATP stops producing, your mitochondria stops producing ATP. That's the cause of death. That's the cause of everybody's death, by the way. As we age, mitochondrial density, the number of mitochondria per cell, and mitochondrial quality, its genetic structure and integrity, decline. Okay, here's what's interesting about this is, the muscle cell of the heart, which is the highest, has the highest mitochondrial density, is a cardiac muscle, because the heart never stops working, pumps constantly, which may have as high as 100 times more mitochondria per cell versus skeletal muscle cells. This is also why statin drugs like Lipitor, which reduce heart mitochondrial function, are so illogical for the primary prevention of heart disease, a disease which is certainly not caused by a lack of drugs. The well-known myotoxicity, muscle-damaging properties of the chemical class of drugs have been linked to a large, broad range of pathologies, over 300 different diseases being caused by statin drugs alone. And this has been repeatedly over and over and over again. They recommend that you use resveratrol or quercetin, which is the turmeric, is the best product for that. And we have all kinds of great products like that to help the mitochondrial function. I also recommend you take coenzyme Q10. This is one of the reasons that when people start taking the statin drugs, many of them die of congestive heart failure because their body, their heart stops producing coenzyme Q10. Their heart muscle gets weaker and weaker and weaker because of this mitochondrial death that's being caused by the statin drugs. Every time you find another article, Austin, about statin drugs, it just shows you how much worse these are. Yesterday we talked about how statin drugs actually caused hardening of the arteries, of the coronary arteries, and now we're finding out that it actually kills the heart muscle itself. I mean, what a horrible drug.
Oh, yeah. There's so many preventative ways to prevent it. I mean, as far as get your cholesterol under check. And what's crazy is that, I mean, it's just a nonstop effort. Even there's the article from New Jersey about now they're actually firing people from their job for not taking the flu vaccine, even if they are not in a hospital setting. Three women, employees of the Lutheran Social Ministries of New Jersey, which is basically an agency that helps elderly and disadvantages throughout the state, are among a rising number of workers facing termination for receiving to get a flu shot or as an alternative wear a surgical mask in the workplace. What differentiates this is that these three women are not doctors or nurses. They don't even work in anything remotely close to a hospital. They spend their days in a corporate office in suburban Burlington Township crunching numbers or dealing with billing issues. And they basically said they weren't going to wear the mask because there's no reason to wear a mask all day long while you're trying to do stuff in a job setting that you're crunching numbers. And then we're going to take a flu vaccine because they weren't exposed to anybody except in their small little group of people. And they were basically reprimanded, and then later on they were let go. And what people don't understand is this is going to start happening more and more and more. That's why you have to find out where you stand on this. If you're okay with getting a plethora of vaccinations and getting all types of aluminum and toxins pumped in your body, then go for it, man. Get them all you want. But if you are not sure and you really don't want that in your body, you really need to make a decision about it now, because it's obviously getting worse and worse and worse. Now they're firing people that don't even work in jobs that are related to, you know, health care. A Canadian physician, Dr. Andrew Molden, he provided clear scientific evidence that every dose of a vaccine given to a child or an adult had some type of harmful effect. And he wrote a book on it. Every vaccine produces harm. And sadly enough, he died in 2013 at age 49, which was pretty interesting because he was extremely healthy. So I'm not sure what happened there.
Yeah, many people say he was murdered because of his stance on it. He was like a career academician. He was a medical doctor. He had different PhDs. The guy was absolutely brilliant. And
oh, yeah.
He was a college professor. I mean, he was doing all kinds of stuff. And what ended up happening is he was too much in everybody's face with too good of a pedigree as far as degrees and research he'd done at major universities to let him stay alive. I personally believe he was murdered, just like I think Phil Schneider was murdered, just like I think a lot of other people have been murdered. And, you know, and so it's just obvious. I mean, with Operation Gladio and Operation Condor, which has now all been proven out, you know, they murdered thousands of people through the CIA. And remember, yes, when I was doing the show the other day and we were talking about, is it the CIA, is it Mossad, or who is it that's causing all of this jetliner to be shot down, or is it Turkey? Well, yeah, it's probably all of these. And the United States is in the middle of it, too, with the CIA. They're all working in their covert operations together. I was listening to another show last night. It was really a good show. The guy was talking about the actual unemployment statistics in the United States. He said that if you went back to Reagan's level of how he had to analyze unemployment rates when he came into office, that the actual number, now whether he's right or wrong, I don't know, but here's what he said. He said if you analyze the 70-some-odd million people who don't, or who are basically, who are almost 100 million people now who are not looking for work, have just dropped off the unemployment rolls because they've stopped looking for work because they're so desperate for work, or the other 6 or 7 million that aren't working that are trying to find jobs, he said it's actually close to 40% of the population of the United States that's of working age is not working, Austin. And, you know, the sad part about that is I think that's probably true, because right now, with all the government handouts going to almost 50% of the population, the average person who's single, if they're a female, has to make like $35,000 or $40,000 a year to be compensated as well as the government is giving them the free stuff. So why in the world do they want to work? So the rest of these people, this 100 million people that aren't working, are basically riding on the backs of all the rest of us that are having to earn a living and pay all of our taxes and pay all the bills for everybody. It's kind of nuts when you stop and think about it.
Well, it's crazy you said that, because it reminds me of our old yard worker that we were just discussing earlier. You offered him a job again. He moved back down to Florida. You offered him a job, and he said, "No, I don't want to work right now. I don't, you know, paying him, you know, $10-$12 an hour to do, you know, yard maintenance and help out with stuff." And basically said, "No, I'm going to go back up to Kentucky and see if I can find another job up there. I don't want to work for that. But I'd just rather not work and not do anything than work for, you know, low to moderate pay when he has almost no expenses at all."
And the craziest thing is, we would have paid him more money per hour, but every time we turn around, he was quitting and disappearing. We've already brought him back like 3 or 4 times, and then every time he quits, he never gives us any notice, just leaves and goes out of state for 6-8 months a year. Then he comes back and he wants a raise. I told him, I said, yeah, if you'll stay here long enough and quit, you know, just quitting and leaving and being such a, you know, a putz, I said, we'll be happy to pay you more money per hour. I said, but the problem is, I said, we can't depend on you. It's the whole thing's just weird. And so I think it was just another excuse because he didn't want to stay down and he wanted to go back to Kentucky. And the sad part about it is that, you know, he's an okay worker. He's nothing to get excited about. But, you know, the problem is the job pool is so bad now of people who don't want to work anymore, who have to work and can't get the subsidies, that they're just lazy. And I've seen it. I mean, you know, I was raised in a German household. I mean, I started working when I was 8 years old, mowing the yard for 2 acres of property with a 20-inch push mower, you know, painting and cleaning cottages and doing all the stuff that I did by the time I was 10 years old. And I was just raised that way. I was raised to work until the job got done. I was raised to work and do the job correctly the first time. I was told if a job's worth doing, it's worth doing well, or it's not worth doing at all. And I've told you that 100 times. You know, I've told you that. And see, and that's the whole point. Most people don't want to do that, Austin. They want to just lay around all day and pretend like somebody's going to take care of or support them. And it's really kind of sad.
the sad part is they are getting supported now.
My Bible tells me that if I don't work, I don't get to eat. So to me, also the Bible in Proverbs, it says the worker's hunger drives him forward. And see, and that's the truth. If people quit getting all the government subsidies, they would start working. They would have to. Here's another article. Soros, George Soros, the Jew from Hungary, who turned in his own Jewish friends to the Nazis so they could be put to the concentration camps so he could steal their stuff when they went to Nazi concentration camps, who's become a billionaire now by manipulating currencies and values of currencies and opening and closing stock markets, shutting them down, destroying entire countries. Okay? Somebody just needs to take this boy and put him on an island by himself and let him just sit there and just sit there, okay? But billionaire George Soros has confirmed that he wants to bring down Europe's borders following the accusation made last week by Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban. Last week, Mr. Orban accused Mr. Soros, who was born in Hungary, of deliberately encouraging the migrant crisis. This invasion is driven on the one hand by people smugglers, and on the other by those human rights activists who support everything that weakens the nation state, the president of Hungary said. The Western mindset and this activist network is perhaps best represented by George Soros. Mr. Soros has now issued an email statement to Bloomberg Business claiming, I love this, foundations help uphold European values, why the president of Hungary's actions in strengthening the Hungarian border and stopping a huge immigrant influx undermine the values. I mean, this doublespeak from Soros, I mean, I wish this guy would just go ahead and, if he's going to go to hell or whatever he's going to do, I wish he'd just check out. The guy's like almost 90 years old. And I mean, he's got so much money that he just does what he wants to do and he collapses nations and collapses economies and just does all this. He was involved in the Greek crisis. He was even involved in the fake protests when the one big black kid, that thug, got shot in St. Louis. Soros was the one sending out millions of dollars to bring these protesters from city to city, Austin, trying to cause a rioting and to cause a revolution in the United States. I mean, this guy is absolutely just demon possessed is what he is. And I mean,
well, the whole globalist agenda with everything. Like, and that's the thing that even Putin, on that article that came out yesterday, makes a stunning declaration basically stating that global warming is an elaborate hoax, and all it is used for government control of the rest of the world so they can basically shame other countries into not using their natural resources. And these exact same agenda.
Well, because remember, when they don't use their natural resources, they come in and the Rothschilds, Sayyid Sabantain, Kabbalah's bankers come in and they destroy that country, then they can use the resources themselves. See,
exactly.
The thing that people need to understand, it's all about greed. I mean, that's what this is about greed. And, you know, it's about how much money can these guys make, how many people can they destroy, how many things can they steal, and that's all they care about. And it's sad, it really is. Here's another article. It says Republicans trust Trump on economy, nuclear weapons. This is a Reuters poll, which it's kind of interesting because Reuters and both the AP Wire, owned by the Rothschild Bank, which I find interesting. So a Reuters poll is actually telling the truth about Trump. So I don't know what's going on with all of that. Donald Trump is the Republican candidate most trusted to manage the economy, deal with foreign leaders, and serve as commander-in-chief, according to a new Reuters poll. And more Republicans would trust him with the nation's nuclear weapons than most of the rest of the other parties in the field. In the terms of overall support, Trump was favored by 31% of Republicans polled by Reuters. Ben Carson had 18%, Mario 10% behind that. And the thing about this is Trump has really sparked a nerve, Austin. He sparked a nerve of telling people the truth of what's going on in the United States and how we're not great anymore because we've exported all of our jobs. I mean, if it's true that we have close to a 40% unemployment rate, which I think that's probably pretty close to accurate according to the old way of figuring it out, you know, people just lose their self-esteem when they tell you that you're not exceptional anymore, you're not an exceptional country anymore, and everybody's sitting around trying to find a job or unwilling to work. You know, it's kind of sad to me. It really, really, really is. Any comments on that one, Oz?
No, it is sad, but you're right. That's exactly what happens. When you start to think your value is much, much lower than it really is, you produce less. That's just part of it. There's another health-related topic right here we found. This is really interesting. This one shocked me. I didn't know this. Is your toilet paper secretly destroying your prostate health? This is interesting. Did you know that toilet paper could also be an issue for prostate problems? Scientists have found that many brands of toilet paper contain a toxic chemical called BPA, which we've talked about all the time. You may know BPA is a chemical found in plastics. It's in water bottles, food containers, even baby toys. And now they're saying it's also in toilet paper thanks to contamination during the recycling process. In fact, the government study found that 81% of all paper products contain BPA in them. And what's crazy is BPA massively wreaks havoc on the prostate and sexual function because it's an estrogen mimicker. So when the estrogen becomes too high, it sends all these different signals in the male body, including to produce less testosterone. And what's interesting, they even go further to saying here that DIM, D-I-M, which is basically an acronym for a specific compound that we use and that we also have on the website, that DIM estrogen control helps to reduce the overall estrogen in the body and can help block a lot of the receptors from receiving the estrogen. So that's a really good optional product for people that are having issues with estrogen sensitivity and are exposed to a lot of BPA, even though if you're unwittingly trying to stay away from it, you're still getting exposed to it apparently now, even with toilet paper.
You know, what's the name of the product that we carry? What's it called? I know we have an estrogen blocker that we have. What is it called?
We have the TUDA, the DIM, D-I-M, estrogen control. That's the main one that contains that in it. And we also have the ultimate estrogen block. The DIM is the dimethylmethane is what it stands for. But that's what we carry, the DIM estrogen control, D-I-M estrogen control. And works really good for that.
So if you've got a boy or a husband that's lost his ability to have any kind of relation with you and you're his wife and he's getting exposed to all these estrogens, you might put him on an estrogen blocker. If you've got a boy that's getting a little bit too girly, you might put him on some estrogen blockers, because the truth of the matter is we're getting exposed to this stuff by the plague. Like, you know, now I got to deal with this. Now I got to start trying to find organic toilet paper. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, I know when you go to Europe, the toilet paper over there is not like the stuff we have here. It's not scented. It's not this. It's not that. It's like sandpaper toilet paper. It's actually quite awful. But if it doesn't have BPA in it, I'd much rather use that. And, of course, you know, a bidet is, of course, the best thing that most people could use as far as, you know, cleaning their bottom. And, you know, of course, you just use a, you know, basically a cloth towel if you were going to do that after you've washed it, wash your bottom with a bidet. But most people don't have, they don't have the ability to have those put into their homes. But the nuttiest thing about all of this is that it's an all-out onslaught to the human genome and to males to feminize them in the United States. And I guarantee you, if we didn't have so many guys who were so sissified and slack-jawed and unwilling to accept the truth about what's going on, the United States, we would have already thrown these bums out of office and restored the rest, and restored the republic, and restored the Constitution. It's really kind of sad, Austin.
It is. I mean, that's why it even shocked me. I was like, man, you know, you're trying to stay away from GMOs, fluoridated water, everything. The list goes on. You know, pasteurized milk. Now you got to watch out for toilet paper because of the BPA that's in it. But like I said, the DIM estrogen control and the ultimate estrogen block, the two products we have. We sell a lot of those for very specific individuals, like I said, that are having estrogen sensitivity issues. So that's a good option for that. I don't know about organic toilet paper. I guess we'll be looking into that now. I have no idea how much that's going to cost.
Oh, it's ridiculous. Well, toilet paper is already expensive as it is. I mean,
I know, that's what I'm saying.
And you say, well, people say, well, that won't matter. Who cares? Well, let me explain something to you. Have you ever heard of a suppository? Suppositories go in the rectum, right? And they absorb directly into the very vascular portion of the body, which is the rectum, and they end up going and, you know, putting drugs in your body through suppositories. And that's basically this area is extremely vascular. And if you're down there wiping it with toilet paper that contains bisphenol A, and you're absorbing the bisphenol A into your blood, it could be a real problem. Here's another interesting article. It says 25,000 to 30,000 foreigners who are mercenaries are now fighting for ISIS. And this is what the Russian defense minister has said. Russia's air forces are striking only confirmed terrorist targets, such as Islamic State militants, and are not the so-called moderate Syrian rebels. Russia's deputy minister said that, revealing that ISIS employed up to 30,000 foreign mercenary extremists. You know, and the crazy thing about this is, we don't know how many of these extremists have left and are still being paid and have gone into Europe now to start civil unrest in Europe. Because they're going over by the boatload now and trainload. And also, what's interesting, our Air Force has gone in now and has bombed a major water treatment center there in Syria. And these people that are basically fleeing Syria are being forced to drink water out of the Euphrates River. And the Euphrates River is a known source of cholera. And now the cholera may not hit you until 5 or 7 or 10 days down the road. And now you have cholera in you. Now you get into Europe and now you have cholera. Now you have the cholera pandemic in Europe. I mean, they're like walking, talking, you know, bioweapons. And also, they nailed a major electrical system component over there, knocked out the power to 2.5 million Syrians. And this is what we're doing. This is what our military is doing. Instead of going after ISIS that we're funding, by the way, they're basically destroying the infrastructure in this country. This is one of the reasons that so many of these Syrians have left, because they don't have water and they don't have electricity. So they think, well, it can't get much worse than this. We're going to go ahead and go to Germany, where Angela Merkel has told us basically we can have all the free housing and free food and free water and free everything else we want. And that's why they're leaving by the millions. And they're going to continue to leave until Angela Merkel puts a brake on it and until the United States stops bombing power plants and water treatment centers. I mean, you know, drinking out of a contaminated water source like the Euphrates River, that's going to be a pretty awful choice, also, to die of dehydration to drink out of the Euphrates. I mean, it's a pretty sad thing that's going on over there. It really is.
Yeah, well, that's why having good water filtration systems on backup are good, like Berkey systems or Life Straws or stuff like that. We've talked about it before. You know, I mean, having water on hand in your house on tap all the time is always the best thing to have, but you also need to have some type of backup source in the event that all power does go down, if we did have some type of national blackout or some type of solar storm that caused the blackout and there were no more water treatment plants, there were no more city water, there were no more electricity. You know, so you have to really, you know, plan ahead on stuff like that, because, you know, you think, oh, it won't happen here, it won't happen here. Well, I'm sure that's what people have said all over the world every time it happens to them. So, I mean, that's just a side note.
Well, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's the sad part about it is that we have to even think like this in a country that was once the greatest country in the world. I'll tell you what, Putin, though, is pretty much calling these guys out now. And I'm sort of like Putin. I mean, at first I thought I was leading off. Because remember, if the media tells you not to like Putin, that means you probably need to like Putin, because the media is controlled by the Rothschild Kabbalah, Satanists, you know, Luciferian bankers that basically are running the planet, and they all hate. They have this big vendetta because of what happened in Khazaria back in the 7th century, and it happened again in the year 1000, the end of the first millennia, in which the Khazars were basically forced to accept a religion of their choice, which they accepted Judaism, and they converted over to Judaism, and basically they were like the wizards and warlocks and witches and Satan worshippers and Baal worshippers and worshiping and sacrificing children. So they accepted Judaism, and they're still unbelievably mad about that, and that's why they're still hell-bent on destroying Russia. It's one of the primary reasons that the Russian royal family was completely killed in the early 1900s, and one of the primary reasons that they killed over 100 million Russians was Stalin and the rest of them. These guys carry these blood feud vendettas for decades, if not centuries, if not millennia. I mean, they're kind of nuts. It's kind of like the Jews and the Muslims in the Middle East. I mean, these things have been going on since Isaac and Ishmael and Sarah and Hagar, and they're still mad at each other for that. And it's been like 3 or 4 millennia ago, and they're still killing everybody. And the sad part about it is that's the difference that Christianity is supposed to be. We're supposed to go in and love one another. And see, the fact that we allow the Jews to go in into Palestine and literally destroy hospitals and kill children and kids and everything else, and we think it's okay as Christians because we're basically believing the Scofield Bible and believing what Scofield wrote about, you know, that Israel is going to be, you know, running the planet and running the world, and we're trying to facilitate that to bring a second coming of Jesus Christ in. It doesn't make any sense. We can't completely discard the teachings of Jesus Christ to try to listen to some guy named Scofield who wrote the Scofield Bible and been telling us basically that this, you know, Zionism is something that's going to be taking over the world and we got to support Israel no matter how bad they act or what they do. It's simply not true. It's not true. And so you need to be reading the Word of God and see what the Word of God says rather than these reference Bibles that give you commentaries that are not the Word of God. That's very, very important. Here's another interesting article, Money and Markets. This is Wednesday, November the 4th. Just when you thought it couldn't get worse for Germany, Germany's largest employer has just filed another 800,000 cars that are basically being recalled. This is Volkswagen. For several weeks now, Volkswagen has been pummeled by news that it lied about its diesel vehicle emissions. Today, the company's stock crashed another 11% on the news that thousands of its gasoline cars also have far worse emissions than the company had claimed. The stock is now down 39%. The last thing that Germany economy needs right now is that banks, because its banks are in trouble. Deutsche Bank's pretty much bankrupt. Its economy is slowing, and the refugee crisis threatens to bankrupt and destroy the entire country. It's amazing to think that the first super cycle since 1929 is less than 1 month old and is already pushing Europe to the brink of bankruptcy with Germany leading the front. And, you know, this is crazy what's going on in Europe. It really is. I mean, they're printing money hand over fist over there trying to you know, deflate or basically inflate their currency so their exports are cheaper. And it's kind of like a race to the bottom, I guess, with this fiat currency also. What do you think about all that?
No, it's definitely that's where it's headed. There's a another topic about the trans fats and hydrogenated oil, which we talk about this repeatedly, but there's a new article on acrylamide, which is a established carcinogen and neurotoxin. What's crazy is it's a byproduct of fried foods frying process. Acrylamide is a well-established carcinogen and neurotoxin, according to Lewis Gold, director of Carcinogen Potency Project at the University of California. Based on a newly based Swedish report, indicates acrylamide is a direct byproduct of fried foods, regardless of the oil. So what they're saying is here, not only are they using, you know, these trans fats at McDonald's and just deep fat fries that they're deep frying in, now there's this extremely strong carcinogen that is a direct byproduct of fried oil. So not only are you getting the nice artery plugging effects of trans fats, now you're getting an extremely toxic carcinogen on top of that. I was unaware of that until now, which that's pretty serious. Even give me another reason not to eat fried food.
Well, no, it's crazy too, and the crazy thing about all of this stuff is in a lot of bread products too. And so it's all this processed food is so bad for you. And you know, and all these and then going to these restaurants and you're ordering fried food and you're thinking it's okay. You don't know how long it's been since that oil's been changed. That oil could have been That oil could be completely burned full of acrylamide and you're thinking it's okay and it's not. And so you're poisoning yourself with this oil from these restaurants. I always ask, if I'm going to get like even a grilled or something, or if somebody pan fries something, I always ask them, do you change the oil or do you leave it in the pan? What do you do? And what type of oil are you using? Because I don't want them using all this vegetable oil that's all hydrogenated oils, because that's one of the primary things they use in restaurants now. And it's incredibly poisonous, Austin.
They usually use hydrogenated corn oil or hydrogenated canola oil, which both are just great, and on top of that, the corn oil is GMO, so you're getting hydrogenated GMO corn oil that's deep fried, so you have the acrylamide in it as a carcinogen on top of everything else.
Oh gosh, it's like the other day, like when the World Health Organization came out finally last week and said that pork causes cancer, and I've been squawking about that for 35 years, and I've had all my Christian friends who didn't want to believe what the Old Testament said about pork tell me that I was crazy. And I mean, not all of them, but a lot of them. And the nuttiest part about all is I came under incredible persecution. And everything I told you guys that are listening today, all the way back in the early 80s, I did the research. And the reason I knew so much about what was happening is I had a clinic. I had up to 40 patients a day coming into the clinic on an ongoing basis. I saw thousands and thousands of patients. And I saw the same type of diseases, same type of heart disease, diabetes, cancer, ADD, autism. All these different links were all related depending on what the kids had been given to eat, what the parents were feeding the kids, what the parents themselves were eating, how many immunizations the kids had, all of it. And so I started seeing a lot of trends that were being caused by specific foods. That's how I put together my list of the top 10 foods never to eat. Number one being the high-fat luncheon meats, bacon, sausage, ham, pepperoni, hot dogs, all pork products, and any luncheon meat that contains sodium nitrite. And see, that's where the list came from. And I've done, oh gosh, thousands and thousands of radio talk shows over the years talking about the top 10 foods never to eat. Spoke to over a million people talking about this very same topic. You can see it repeatedly you can watch it all on YouTube if you'd like. I don't want to repeat it right now because we're almost out of time. But the reality is this. I warned you about diet sodas. I warned you about hydrogenated oils. I warned you about pork. I warned you about soy. I warned you about high-fat dairy products that basically were contaminated with, you know, bovine growth hormone. I warned you about alcohol. I warned you about the coffee. I warned you about the chlorine, the fluoride, you know, the shellfish, all the contaminants. I warned you about all of this stuff, the aspartame. For over 30 years, I've been warning people about all of this stuff. And now every single thing that I said that I warned people about, Austin, finally, the mainstream is adopting almost all of it. And now the biggest problem we have right now is getting people to realize that green tea is a lot better for them than coffee. And that's the biggest one that we're having to get people to get off of still is the coffee, because coffee is so bad for you, the way it elevates cortisol, but so many people are addicted to coffee. I remember years ago I was up in Seattle, and that's the home of Starbucks, apparently, one of the most liberal cities I've ever been in. And I had to talk about the top 10 foods never to eat to about 20,000 people that day, and I got to mention how you need to cut and not drink coffee, and I was audibly booed by the audience. And I thought myself, and I thought, you know, this is ridiculous. Here I am trying to tell these guys the truth about increasing the risk of heart attacks, increasing the risks of high blood pressure, increasing the risks of fibroid tumor formation in breast tissue, increasing the risks of, you know, of stress because of the cortisol and premature aging. I'm telling them all the truth. Nobody wants to hear it because Starbucks is there anyhow. So what's your next story, Austin?
Starbucks. One thing, I've never been a Starbucks supporter. Let me just say that. I think their stuff's overpriced, and I don't even care for coffee that much. But one thing that just put the nail in the coffin for me with Starbucks was when the CEO came out and said, if you have a concealed weapon permit, if you support guns, if you like to carry guns concealed or openly, regardless of your, you know, which state laws you're in, we do not want your business. Go somewhere else. We do not support people that are gun supporters. And I was like, well, that right there should have automatically put Starbucks out of business. But sadly enough, their sales actually went up. I guess most of the people that go to Starbucks don't carry firearms, I'm assuming, because that.
Well,
that
also, they said if you weren't for the pro-gay, pro-homosexual.
Yes, that's right. Also, if you're not pro-gay.
And so, here's what I will give the gays credit for, and I mean, I admire them for this. Okay, it's the only thing I admire them for. They stick together like glue. They really support one another. If a business is pro-gay and they're gay, man, they'll go out of their way to promote and support that business, including drinking more and more coffee, I guess. So, I mean, whatever, man. You know, Christians need to be the same way. I mean, Christians kind of go out of the way not support other Christians' businesses. I find it amazing. And, oh, by the way, we're almost out of time again. Show is brought to you by healthmasters.com, free newsletter you can get 3 times a week. We talk about all kinds of health issues like we're talking about today. It's all about the health stuff in the newsletters. And thank you. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for supporting the business. Thank you for buying your supplements from us. Thank you for all of the things that you guys do that you've made this show possible. I mean, if it wasn't for you guys, the show wouldn't even be on the air right now. So thank you. I appreciate you guys. Now, next story we want to talk about. Fed officials. This is so funny to me. This is so hilarious to me. I started laughing out loud when I read this. This is by Pam Martins and Russ Martins. And they were doing they said Fed officials are attending big bank board meetings. Is this Stockholm syndrome? Now, I'm going to see what they said by this. According to the Random House Dictionary, Stockholm syndrome is an emotional attachment to a captor formed by a hostage as a result of a continuous stress, dependence, and need to cooperate for survival. Regulatory capture, where big banks are actually the ones calling the shots to the regulators, appears to have morphed into Stockholm syndrome based on congressional hearing today. House Financial Services Committee Chairman Jeb Hessering dropped a bombshell on Federal Reserve Janet Yellen and opened the questions yesterday on the Fed's role of supervising the largest, most systemically dangerous banks. Hensling said, "We had a large number of individuals come to our committee to tell us that the Fed officials have regularly attended corporate board meetings of major banks. And is that true?" And Yellen goes, "So, I'm not sure if that's true. It's conceivable that it might have occurred. I'm not saying that it didn't occur. I'll just have to get back with you on it." I mean, she's such a arrogant nightmare. Then Hessling says back to her, "If it did occur, what legal authority would you cite for having employees of the Fed invite themselves into corporate boardrooms?" And here's the answer, since nobody answered it in the rest of the article. The Fed owns these banks. The Fed has printed $19 trillion in off-book balance sheets. They won't tell us where the money went. They have sent it to their member banks who've used their interlocking corporate directorships to buy up almost all of the Fortune 500 corporations. The Federal Reserve Bank, the Rothschild banking cartel, owns now almost all of the Fortune 500 corporations in America, including these major banks. That's why they show up at the board meetings, because they're stockholders and they own the doggone thing and they want to make sure it's being done right. That's why they're there, to answer the question. Any comments on that, Austin?
No, that one's spot on right there. That's exactly why. When you think about it, if you had a printing press and you could print as much money as conceivable, is any number amount, you could print it off in your basement, would you not just buy everything? buy an island, buy a country, buy industries, buy factories. It doesn't matter anymore. It's funny money. It's monopoly money. It's not real. It's irredeemable paper currency. There is no backing to it. They just print off another $50 billion. Oh, we want to own this company. Okay, we'll print off $90 billion for that one. We'll go ahead and just change some digits around. Here's some numbers. Bam. Send them the money. It doesn't matter. You're exactly right. That's all they do. That's why they own everything now. When we, in 1913, when we allowed an outside private bank to control our monetary system, that was the end of it. That was the end of it. And that's why Andrew Jackson was so stinking against all that with the outside banks, because he saw this exact same thing happen before with the Bank of England.
Well, you remember what happened with Thomas Jefferson when he took payment in fiat currency for money that had been owed to him, and he tried to redeem the fiat currency, and he couldn't get it. It caused him to go bankrupt. That's why we have
Jefferson. Value. Yep. He died penniless. Penniless.
Yep. He hated fiat currency from that point on, because he basically had said if it's not backed by gold, it's not worth anything, because they paid him back in fiat currency, a bill that they owed him. He accepted the money and paid back the bill in full, and then turned around, tried to deposit the funds into this fiat currency, had gone bankrupt, and he basically had nothing. He had to sell his entire library. That's one of the where a big chunk of the library in Congress is from, is the Jeffersonian Library, and that's because he was bankrupt. He was just completely destitute when he died. And it's sad because, I mean, he was one of the fathers of our country, and he died because of fiat currency and the banking swindle that occurred. And see, and this is what Andrew Jackson with the Bank of America was put back in because of the War of 1812. Remember, the Bank of America was put in the United States for the War of 1812 to stop the War of 1812, because the Rothschilds were controlling the British government by that point, because they had taken over the British government when they had basically bought all those bonds. When Napoleon had been defeated, and they said that he had won, and the bonds fell to nothing, and they went and bought all of these basically bonds from the government, and then bought them back for pennies on the dollar, and then basically took over the entire English government. And so by 1812, they were basically running the entire England government, and they decided they're going to reattack the United States with the War of 1812 and burn the White House. And so we capitulated in that war, basically signed a treaty with that war, but gave them the right to bring their Rothschild banking cartel bank in 1812, and in 1832, Andrew Jackson threw it out. That's exactly what happened to Austin, and they tried to shoot him, I think, either two or three times. They tried to kill Jackson, and they couldn't get him killed. Old Hickory was his name. He's a tough old dude, man, and he was actually a general in the Indian Wars. So that dude was mean, and he had enough of it. And he just got rid of them all. He said, by God Almighty, I'm going to root you out, all of you. We're going to get rid of all of you people, because he knew what they would do. And of course, Lincoln was money martyred a few years later, and when he tried to print the greenbacks, and then again, it took all the way until 1913, and we had a emotionally, socially, and morally compromised Woodrow Wilson. Oh man, we're out of time, Austin. Guys, thank you so much. Hope you enjoyed our rhetoric again today. Kind of caught up on me kind of quick today. We love you guys. We appreciate you listening to us. Give us your feedback. Give us your comments. Call the office. Let us know what's going on. And keep listening. Thank you so much. Thank you for your support.
Yep. Have a safe weekend.